morning, Gary up here and trying to, you know, keep it stirred up with announcements, and Pete trying to teach, and I really appreciate Pete and what he does, and yeah, I'm talking about you. Really appreciate what he does with our musicians here, and honestly, I tell you what, Pete and I really are a great team. As far as our friendship is strong, and we're back and forth. I probably read far more than he does, and he probably listens to a lot of other preachers because he can't stand me. But, you know, other than that, he spends his whole week trying to get me out of his head is what he does. And so he listens to everybody else. So, I hadn't heard that before, but that's pretty cool, right? The Yahweh. I don't know if that's true or not, but it's a pretty good illustration there. We are working our way through Psalm 23. And if you've been with us since Easter, you've actually caught the whole thing. It's 9 weeks, a little bit longer than we typically spend in a given section. But I hope it's been beneficial. I hope that you've really enjoyed the time that we've spent in this. Really, is a short little poem. I mean, there's really, if we just read through it, which is what we usually do, you know, we hit a couple of highlights, you know, a couple of verses that we sort of know because we've heard them over and over and over. You know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And then we jump straight to the valley of the shadow of death. You know, for some reason, we skip all of that, and then we dwell in the house of the Lord forever, as if those were the only three parts of the whole psalm. But we've spent so much time digging in, and I really hope, that whether you've been here for the whole series or not, any part that you've caught, you have found a benefit in your life. I hope that you've grown because of our time here in this psalm. Anything that you've missed, of course, you can go to our website and you can listen to those again, or you can get even if you heard the whole thing once and you want to listen to it again, obviously it's available. In your bulletin this morning, you've got your notes, you've got your giving envelope, our connection card. Some of you have caught on, I've noticed this. Some of you have caught on, and you say, forget waiting until he actually points out the connection card. I'm just going to come in, sit down, put my name on it right away. And that's fine. That's fine. We want everybody to use the connection card. So whether your name's already on it or not, now's the time to do it. That's fine. And we have the challenge on the back. Everybody needs to grow. Also in your bulletin, and of course, Gary pointed this out, we usually put these out at the beginning of every other month. But because of the way we're changing things a little bit and the fact that we're starting on Job today, that's just a fun book right there. I tell you what, if you've never read through Job, you have to, just loads of laughs and actually, other than maybe Ecclesiastes, it's probably one of the most depressing books in the entire Bible. And that's why we have to, encourage you to read it. Not reading through every verse, not reading through every chapter, hitting some highlights here for the next 3 weeks, I encourage you to spend some time in the book of Job, because the question is one that we've all asked. Why do bad things happen to me when I'm trying to do what's right? And everybody in the book has their own answer to it, but it's not until we get down to the end that we find the answer that God gives. And so I encourage you to stick through the end with your soap reading. Let's have a word of prayer. Ask God to be our teacher this morning as we look at this last verse in probably one of the most famous psalms in the Bible, Psalm 23. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful that you are the unchanging one, the eternal one, that there is no other name under heaven given among people by which you, not just we must be saved, but you allow us to be saved, Jesus Christ. The fact that we wouldn't even know that salvation was possible had you not told us about it and done something about it. We would be on our way, every single one of us, to an eternity without you, separate from you, in punishment and condemnation for our sin. But you stepped into the story and you changed everything. And we thank you for that. We thank you that today we have the opportunity and the ability to say, the Lord is my shepherd. Thank you so much for that. Thank you so much. Father, as we come to this last verse in this psalm. As we explore your very personal name, I ask two things. First, that your Holy Spirit would challenge us and convict us and teach us this morning. That the step that we need to take individually, whatever it is, to draw closer, grow closer to you, we would be willing to do that. We would humble ourselves before your teaching this morning, before your scriptures, before you. And we would take whatever that step is necessary. God, I pray that secondly, that we would grow each other. We would use the scriptures that we have, and we would grow each other. We would bring other people along in the journey. It's not just about us, it's about all of us in relation to you. God, that's what you want. And Father, we ask that that would be the desire that you put in our heart as well. We ask for growth this morning. And we thank you that it's possible, but only through Jesus Christ. And so it's in his name that we pray. Amen. Well, there is not nearly enough time this morning to get everything possible out of Psalm 23:6. We could probably spend 2 or 3 weeks just on this one verse. So, buckle your seatbelts, because we're going to... No, actually, we're not going to try to cram everything in. We're just going to narrow it down. And I want to focus on one area this morning. We've spent the last couple of months focusing, like Pete said, on some of God's names and trying to come across his characteristics, these things that he has revealed to us, and how we are supposed to relate to him. And here's what we've seen. I'm just going to, and I didn't put it in your bulletin, and I was going to, and I forgot basically what happened. But I'm just going to read through this whole psalm and just remind you of what we've hit so far, and then we'll wrap up today with verse 6. First, we saw in verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. And of course, that one is sort of a given. He's our shepherd. That's what kicks off this whole thing. He's the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. He's the great shepherd who rose again. He's the chief shepherd who still works in his church. I mean, Jesus Christ is the shepherd. God is our shepherd. David wrote, I lack nothing. He's our provider, isn't he? And he asks us to be content with what he has provided us. He takes me to lush pastures, leads me to refreshing water. He's our peace. He's our peace. And peace, if you remember, peace is not the absence of conflict. Peace is the sense of security in the middle of chaos and conflict. We don't know peace when there's no conflict and there's no chaos. It's only when everything else is up going around us that we really can sense the security that the shepherd offers. It's a wonderful promise. It's a wonderful promise. He restores my strength. He's my healer. Not just a physical healer, but if you remember a few weeks back, we focused on our mental healing and our emotional healing and our spiritual healing. We trust God to heal broken bones, but we don't trust him to heal broken hearts. Why is that? Why is that? He leads me down right paths for the sake of his reputation. He is my righteousness. He is the one who not only leads me right, but he allows me to do right. Don't you know? We would never do right if it weren't for God. We always choose away from God. Always choose away from God. And it's because of his own reputation, he has promised he will never lead us astray. If we're headed down the wrong path, it's not his fault. It's just that simple. We don't like to acknowledge it, but it's not his fault. Because according to his reputation, according to his name, he always leads us down the right path. Even when I must walk through the darkest valley, or that valley of the shadow of death is the traditional reading, I fear no danger because he is the present one. He is here with us. Isn't that awesome? Everybody does it every once in a while, so I'm not picking on anybody at all, but one of my pet peeves when I hear people pray, and don't not pray now, when I'm in your presence, because this is, and I don't want you to make, you know, but one of my pet peeves when I hear people pray is to pray, God, that you would be with me, or that you would be with us. Why would we ever ask God to be with us when he has promised he will never leave us and he will never forsake us? We don't have to ask. And yet sometimes we forget that. We don't want to forget that. He says, I fear no danger, for you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they reassure me. He is our banner, right? He is our banner. That's not what that one is. I don't remember what that one is. I'm doing this from memory. Uh-oh. Is it our banner? It is our banner. Sweet. Silly me, not writing my notes down. I told you I forgot to put that part in. You prepare a feast before me in plain sight of my enemies. You refresh my head with oil. My cup is completely full. He is our sanctifier. He is the one who sets us apart for something greater than we could ever have or do or accomplish on our own. And finally, this morning, we come to verse 6. Surely your goodness and faithfulness, the traditional reading is mercy. It's the depths of loving kindness. There is no English word that can really bring out the depth that is in this word. We find it all over the Old Testament, and sometimes we translate it mercy, and sometimes faithfulness, and sometimes loving kindness. But this is the depths of everything that God wants to share with us. And David said, your goodness and your, I don't care how you want to say it, your loving kindness, your mercy, your faithfulness, whatever it is, every translation uses a different word, and because we just don't have a word that does it completely. Those two things, goodness and faithfulness, will pursue me, will chase me, will hunt me down all the days of my life, all my days. And I will live in the Lord's house for the rest of my life. Now, every week so far, the name has been Jehovah plus something. Jehovah is peace, Jehovah is healer, all these things that we just went through. Today, we're just going to strip it all back. We're going to look at the very personal name of God himself that he has introduced to us. And the name, the closest that we can get to it, like Pete already mentioned, is either Yahweh or Jehovah. And we find God introducing this name in a very unique way in Exodus chapter 3. Now, most of the other names that we've seen show up only once in the entire Bible. This one shows up over 6,000 times in the Old Testament alone. And Exodus chapter 3 is not the first time it shows up, but it's the first time that God introduces himself in this personal way. Let me give you the backstory, because we're going to look at just a couple of verses to get his name. So the nation of Israel, somewhere between 2 or 3 million people, are in Egypt, and they are literally a slave nation. They do everything. They work 24/7, and they're the slaves to the Egyptians. And God chooses a man by the name of Moses to go to Egypt to tell the Israelites, I'm going to deliver you by God's power, and then go to Pharaoh. And you know the song, right? Let my people go, right? And you go, let my people go. And of course, it's just supposed to happen because God said so, and it was going to be a wonderful thing. But Moses was sort of reluctant. And he asked God a whole bunch of questions. I mean, I don't know how this interview worked, because God came with a commission and Moses decided to interview God. He wanted all the details. He wanted all the everything like that. And he asked God some questions. And right in the middle of the interview, Moses asked, well, let's look at it. Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, verses 13, 14, and 15. Moses asked a very, very important question. Moses said to God, if I go to the Israelites and tell them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, well, what is his name? What should I say to them? Well, first of all, that just seems like a cop-out question. Because if Moses goes there and says, the God of your fathers, which one of them really is going to ask? The first question that pops into their mind, well, what's his name? Did he give you his business card? I'm like, really? You know, this wasn't the first question that Moses asked. I think he's still trying to get out of the job in the first place. And he's still, you know, and so now he's just making stuff up. What if they ask, what is his name? Well, God humors him a little bit. I mean, because if I were God, and we've gone over this lots of times before, we're glad I'm not, okay? In so many ways, we're glad I'm not. If I were God, I would just say to Moses, you know what, enough stupid questions, get on with, you know, get on with the work that I told you to do. You're just getting silly now. But I'm not God. So God answered the question, and honestly, I'm glad he did, because this is a huge section of Scripture that if God had used my route, we wouldn't have this part of Exodus, basically, is what happened. God said to Moses in verse 14, I am that I am. Okay. He said, you must say this to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. Well, that doesn't make a lot of sense, honestly. It's either a really, really, really short first name and last name, or he just, like, you know, goes by one name, like Cher or Prince or whatever like that. You know, it doesn't make a lot of sense, okay, in our minds. Reading it in the year 2012 doesn't make a lot of sense. We'll figure out why. God also said to Moses, you must say this to the Israelites. The Lord. Now, if you're following along, maybe you like to write in your Bibles or you just pull out your notes because you've got your notes right here. If you've got your notes and you're going to jot notes down here, I want you to circle or underline or do whatever that phrase or those two words, the Lord. And I want you to circle the two words, I am. And I want you to draw a line between them. Okay, I want you to connect the words I am and the Lord. Because every time in the Old Testament we come across the phrase the Lord and it's in all capitals like that, or it's in an uppercase L and then a small caps O-R-D, this is the very personal name of God himself. This is, even though it's translated most of our Bibles, the Lord, and sometimes it comes across the Lord Almighty, but you still see the capitals, or the Lord God, but there's still the capitals. Anytime it's set apart that way, 6,000 times plus, in our English Bibles, with those capital letters that just look like they don't fit, that is the very personal name of God himself. That is the I am. You see, Lord, the word itself, is just a title. The Lord. It's just a title. Honestly, there are lots of lords throughout the Bible. There are lots of lords throughout Earth's history. Lords and ladies and, you know, all the tons of lords. Tons of masters, tons of despots, tons of... It's just a title. The word God is just a title. God, G-O-D, is not his name. It's not his name. It's a title. And throughout the scriptures, there are lots of gods. Did you realize that God was not the only God in the universe? Lots of gods. Now, we usually try to make sure that this God is the only one who gets the capital G to set him apart from all of the other gods out there. And they usually have the little g that, you know, so it sets them apart. But there are lots of gods out there. Some of them are demons. Satan himself, the enemy, is called the god of this world. It's in there. He is a god. He is not the God. He wants to be like God. But he is certainly a god. And he is worshipped as a god all over this universe. And demons are gods. And the scriptures teach us that anything that takes the place, first place in our lives, where God should be, becomes our God. On any given day, your God, my God, could be our work, could be our family, Could be our relationships, friendships, marriage. Could be our bank accounts. Could be our TV. Could be our education. Could be the couch that you just had to have at the expense of other things. It could be anything. Anything that takes that central place, first priority, top of our lives, any given minute, any given day, that thing, that person, that relationship, that place, that $5 coffee, that whatever, has become, even for a short time, your God, my God. Capital G God, the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, is not the only God in this world, is not the only God in this universe. But he is different and far above any other God that there could possibly ever be. Because every other God is temporary. Every other God had a beginning, and most other gods will have an end. But the thing that sets this God, the Lord God, however you want to phrase it, the I Am, is not what he can do. It's not what he knows. It's not where he is. It's all about who he is. And this morning, as we come to the end of Psalm 23, I want to spend our time for these next couple of minutes exploring the greatest thing about who he is and why that's important in your life today, my life today, and moving forward. Don't you find it fascinating that he did not give his name as the I Was? He didn't emphasize his past. He didn't give his name as you tell the Israelites that I will be has sent you. He said, I am. Right now, right here, the always present, the forever, the eternal, the never changing, the always right here one. You tell them, you remind them that their ancestors knew me 400 years ago. But we're not worshiping a 400-year-old concept. I want you to tell them that I am still right here. Wherever they are, I am here. Wherever you are, whatever situation you find yourself, whatever problems we are in, the message God has in his very personal name is not, remember when things were good? Is not, one day it will be better. It's, I'm here. I am. I haven't stopped listening. I haven't stopped watching. I haven't forgotten. And I've never left. Isn't that an awesome promise? Isn't that awesome? Does that change everything? Could it change everything when we're right in the middle of a situation we don't want to be? It's not just about what he's done in the past or what he's going to do in the future. We should be grateful for both of those things. How often we forget that he is. And he told Moses, you must say this in verse 15. The Lord, the I Am, me, my name, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. You want to know his name? I'll give you his name. He's the one who's never forgotten you. And he's the one who sent me to you. And this is my name forever. And this is my memorial He says, with them, with the nation of Israel, with you is what he's telling them. From generation to generation. My name forever is the I Am One. Even in the future, God will not be known as the I Was or just the I Will Be. Forever is a long time into the future. But he doesn't want to focus. He doesn't want us to focus just into the future with the I Will Be. He says, I want you to know me personally on a first name basis now. Now, let's think about that for a second. I'm going to use my dad as an illustration, okay? Some of you wouldn't know my dad if you know, he walked up and said hi to you. You wouldn't know he was my dad. You wouldn't know him. You don't know anything about it. That's fine, okay? That's just the way it is. You wouldn't know him at all. Some of you, I mean, you don't even know he's here this morning. Ha-ha. Some of you sort of know him. Maybe you knew he was my dad. Maybe you didn't, whatever. You just sort of recognize him. That, you know, that's fine, whatever. There are a bunch of little people around here that call him Mr. Geffrick. Okay, Mr. is important because he's sort of menacing, especially when you're only this tall. You know, just, you know. Some of you have gotten to the place over time where not only have you heard his first name, but you actually get to call him by his first name. You call him Jim. You can walk up to him and say, hey, Jim. You shake his hand or whatever, wave at him, because you've grown that much closer. And you have a first name basis relationship with my dad. Some of you have that and some of you don't. There are people who still use the titles. There are people who don't know anything about God. Never met him, never seen him, just sort of see his handiwork, but you don't know anything about him, really. There are people who know a lot about, I'm not saying my dad's God, don't make that connection anywhere close. I've moved out of that illustration for a little bit. Okay, there are some people who know God, but they know him only in a formal way. They know God, right? Because you have to have that deep voice when you think of it. Just God, you know. He's the guy at church. You know, he doesn't show up anywhere else, but he shows up in church because that's, you know, where God lives. He's the Lord. But it's like you're talking to a professor. You know, it's doctor. You know, whatever, professor, or, you know, or a judge, your honor. You know, it's very standoffish, very, very formal. We don't know each other well, but I'm pretty sure that somewhere out there, God is. Some people have come closer, and we know about Jesus. Or we know about Jehovah. And we've come to the place where we have a relationship with God that's not just standoffish, informal anymore. And we're on what he invited all the way back into the Old Testament. He invited people to come into relationship on a first name basis. He knows your first name anyway. We might as well know his. And he wants us to be, he's invited us to be on a first name basis with Jehovah. Not just the Lord, but the I Am. But you know what? Many Christians, many of us who know Jesus Christ as our Savior, stop the relationship on a first name basis. We never get further with God than the first name basis. But you know, there is one level that's closer. I don't call my dad Jim, unless I'm talking to, you know, about him to somebody else. I don't call him Mr. Geffrick. I don't just sort of walk by and acknowledge that he's there because I don't know him. When I see my dad, especially if it's been a while, because we don't see each other all the time. I don't just wave. I don't walk up and shake his hand. Hi, Mr. Geffrick. Hey, Jim. You know what I do? I give him a big old hug. You know what I call him? I call him Dad. I don't call him Jim or Mr. I call him Dad. My kids, even though some of them are only this tall, they don't call him Mr. They call him Grampy. Because there is a relationship that's even closer than first name. And in the scriptures in the Old Testament, God invited people into a first name basis with Him. But we don't stay in the Old Testament. We don't live in the Old Testament anymore. When Jesus came down to the planet, He said, I have come to show you the Father. I have come so that you don't just crawl around on the planet and He just sort of floats up wherever around He floats up there, and you get a first name basis and you can't see Him and you can't hear Him, but you sort of toss His name out there and you hope He's listening. He said, I have come to bring you into a relationship, not with God, not even with just Jehovah. I have come to bring you into a relationship that is closer than anything else you could possibly imagine. And as He taught His disciples to pray, remember how He started it? Our Father. Our Father. And even though the terminology was sort of, they were sort of used to it, they would not have claimed a parent-child relationship with Jehovah God of the universe. Because that was too close. Because He lived, He was the pillar of fire, the cloud, and He was all these things, and He was separate, and we could not really approach Him except through priests and animals and all these other things that He had set up. We couldn't really approach Him. I can walk into my dad's house anytime I want. Today, you, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, God does not want to be on a first name basis with you. He wants you to know that it's closer than that. He's not just God or the Lord. He's not just Jehovah. He is Dad. Now, for some people, that brings up some really scary memories, because maybe you did. I joke about my dad about being scary or whatever, but honestly, some of you really did have scary dads, maybe. Maybe you really did. And the last thing in the world you want is to be reminded of that with God. And that's possible. But here's what I want you to know. Even though I didn't have that, maybe you did. And here's my message, or here's not my message, here's what the scriptures, here's what God wants you to know. Earthly fathers did what they thought was right. Earthly fathers do what they think is right. For the most part, the Heavenly Father always does what is right. The Heavenly Father never makes bad parenting mistakes. Earthly dads, we're all there, right? And we all make the parenting mistakes. We're awful sometimes, aren't we? We are. We all make mistakes. Your Heavenly Father, He knows the types of parents that you had. And even in a situation, if you had a really, really, really scary hard, bad growing up life with your father, maybe with your mother, your Heavenly Father says this: I'm not that guy. I'm not that dad. Remember what we read in Psalm 23? His reputation is at stake if he leads us wrong. When we were in the scary times and mom or dad didn't show up, Jehovah says, I'm there. When maybe it was our parents that were causing the chaos, Jehovah God says, I'm peace. When it was maybe things that our parents did that caused the emotional or the mental or the spiritual or even the physical trauma, Jehovah God says, I'm your healer. When maybe you thought or you really were abandoned or rejected and not provided for by your parents, your Heavenly Father says, I'm your provider. Jehovah God says, I will never do that. I always, always, always do what's right. And there are some of you, I believe, probably here today, who you know Jesus Christ is your Savior. You've humbled yourself. You've asked for forgiveness for your sins. You've recognized your sinfulness before God. But you have not been able to get past God or the Lord. Because getting close has just been too scary. And you're not willing to be that vulnerable again. Some of you maybe have gotten to the place where you're on a first name basis, but you're not willing to be or to come to Him as a child. To a parent, a good parent, a loving parent that maybe you never had. And this morning, Jehovah God says, to them, I gave a first name and I invited them into a first name basis, or a first name relationship. But today, through Jesus Christ, I want that to be even more. Maybe you don't know God at all. Maybe He's just the guy out there somewhere that you acknowledge periodically with your mouth. But you've never come into a relationship through Jesus Christ. God said, here are my terms. I want you to have a relationship with me, but it's going to happen on my terms, not your terms. It's going to come through Jesus alone. And in your notes over on the right side, we're not going to spend a lot of time here. But three times right here in John 10 and John 14, Jesus was very, very clear. I am the one who gives life. I am the one who gives life. No one can come to the Father. You see that? He didn't say no one can come to Jehovah or no one can come to the Lord or no one can come to God. He said no one can come into a relationship at all. But especially get to that point where you can have a father in God except through me. You see, everything else that we've talked about in this series is only because of what we saw in that first phrase, the Lord is my. The Lord is my shepherd. Personal relationship with Jehovah God, the God of the universe. If you don't have that relationship with God, if you've never humbled yourself in your sinfulness before God and placed your entire faith through Jesus, you can't say my yet. And the peace that He offers and the healing that He offers and the provision that He offers, you can see, but you're not promised. That's not a promise for you until you can stand there and say, the Lord Jehovah is mine. The rest of this verse, in verse 6, I just want to hit very briefly. Because when Jehovah is mine, he will do something that a good dad will do. He will chase us, but not chase us away. Bad parents chase us away. Good parents chase after us. See the difference? You know the difference, some of you. Surely your goodness and the depths of your loving kindness, the depths of your love, the depths of your mercy, the depths of your faithfulness, everything that is inside God there, if I can put it that way, the very depths of it, the Hebrew word conveys all of this stuff, chases, hunts me down, pursues after me. If I'm going the wrong direction, he doesn't just let me go the wrong direction. He hunts me down to bring me back. If I speed up and go too far ahead, that's my story. That's my story. I'm always trying to outrun God. I always have a bigger, better plan. We're going to do this. And da, 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 da. You know what he does? He hunts me down, pulls me back. Because it's not time for that yet. Because he's faithful, because he's merciful, because he's loving and kind and good. And he hunts us down and he pursues us. Not just once, not just twice, but all our days. Because that's what a good parent does. That's what the father does. And David said, because of that, I will live in the Lord's house for the rest of my life. Now, I'll address it. The rest of my life doesn't sound like forever, and that's what the traditional reading is, forever. There's nowhere in the entire Old Testament that phrase means forever when used in relation to a human being. It's always about, as far as I can see, for the rest, till my dying breath, this is my story. Okay? But here's the thing. We have information today that David didn't have. You see, when David died, all he knew is that he went to the grave. David didn't know what Paul told us, that when we take our dying breath here, that when we are finally absent from this body, do you know where we are? We are present with the Lord for those who know Jesus Christ as Savior. See, David didn't know anything about that. He couldn't talk about forever. Forever sounds better in the poem, but David didn't know anything about forever. He was going to the grave. But we know the grave is not the end. We know, in fact, that when we close our eyes here, we open our eyes, we don't even see the grave for those who know Jesus Christ as Savior. And so whereas David could sit back with that contented and said, you know what? If this is what the shepherd does, why would I ever leave this? I'm going to live here forever. Why would I ever go anywhere? Why would I chase after another God if the Lord, Jehovah, is my shepherd like this? If the shepherd does this, I'm not jumping the fence, is what he said. I'm going to live here till I die. You and I can take that even further if you know Jesus as your Savior. You and I literally can say, you know what? First of all, God's not even going to let me jump the fence. And secondly, it's not just about till the end of my days. It really is. Forever. Forever with the Father. Forever with Jehovah God. Forever with our banner, our sanctifier, our righteousness, our provider, our healer, our peace. Forever with the Shepherd. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who is ever present, the I Am, the unchanging, the never ending, the always faithful, Jehovah. And whatever it is, the situation that you're in right now, that makes you long for the days when things were good, don't go there. Because that's the I was. Or it makes you wonder, when are things going to get better? Don't go there. Because that's the I will be. God wants you to be in relation with Him in the I am. Right now. Even in the chaos. Even when things aren't being provided for or doesn't look like it. Even when things are not satisfactory. When it's hard to be content. When we need healing. When it looks like we're on the right path. And when it looks like there's nothing for us to accomplish. That He has no purpose for us. Jehovah wants us to say, you are here, and I'm here with you. That's what He's asking for. So as we bring Psalm 23 to a close, I'm going to ask you to turn over your connection card. And here's your challenge this morning. Here's what God is calling all of us to. Not just you, me, all of us. First of all, maybe today, and I give you this opportunity every week because there is no more important place or decision that you can be. Maybe you would say, I've never believed in Jesus Christ for my salvation before. Never, for whatever reason. Maybe it was a bad childhood experience and you would never go through that again. And if that's the way God's like, if that's what God's like and that's the way God is, I'm never going there. I hope that you find that that's not the kind of God that He is. And you would say, today I'm taking up Jesus on His offer of forgiveness and rest and peace and salvation. And today you're going to place your entire faith, your entire trust, everything that you believe in the Eternal One, Jehovah God, who wants you to call Him Dad, Father. Maybe that's where you are right now. Maybe, and I think this is probably the majority of us, we would say, you know, I've already done that. I've already accepted His forgiveness and salvation. I am Christian, saved, born again, whatever terminology you're going to use. That's my story. But I've never been able to get past God, the formal. Or I've made it to the first name basis. You know, sometimes I break out and I get real super, you know, charismatic or whatever, and I call Him Jehovah or Yahweh. It's like, you know, I don't even know I can do that. But I've never been able to call Him with any legitimacy Father or Dad. Maybe I start my prayers that way, Father, but I don't really mean it. It's just a title. If that's where you are today, I guarantee you that that's the step that God wants you to take. And so maybe you would say, it's time for me to learn to know Him as Dad. And I've given you four options here. These things all take time. They all take time. Maybe you're right now going to commit to spend more time hearing from Him. And your SOAP card's a great way to do that. Tell you what, well, maybe this isn't a good way to start because God doesn't even talk until chapter 38 in Job. So don't use Job if you're waiting to hear from God because He doesn't even show up until the end. You know, jump back to the front or something. But maybe spend extra time in the Scriptures to hear from God. Maybe you hear from Him a lot, but you never actually talk to Him. maybe He's waiting to hear from you. And you need to spend some time just talking in prayer. Maybe you read a lot or you pray a lot, but you never really actually study what He says. You never really apply it. You'd say, I'm going to invest some time in intentionally studying the Scriptures or applying what I know in serving in ministry. There are places in this church that you can serve. There are places outside of this church that you can serve. But investing time into not just soaking up relationship, but actually sharing your relationship with God, with other people. Maybe that's where you are today. Our memory verse this week is simply Acts 4:12. We've sang it several times. We've referenced it multiple times. There is no other name under heaven given among people by which we can be saved, by which we must be saved. Only Jesus Christ offers us life. Many other passages in your notes that I would recommend that you read. We're going to close in prayer. Then you can take the time necessary to fill out your connection card. The baskets are in the back, and on your way out, you can give your offering, your tithes, and your connection card in the baskets. And if you need the extra time, you need to take some time just right now to have a conversation with God, do it. Don't walk out of the building and assume that it's going to happen later if God is working on your heart, if God is talking to you right now. Take the time necessary. The basket will be there on your way out so that you can put that in there as your act of worship this morning, as part of your worship. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll be done this morning. Father, thank you that you allow us to call you Father. Not even just a first name basis that we have with our friends, but Dad. Something closer. And there's so many of us who've never been able to do that before, and you've called us to something greater. And I ask that our time in Psalm 23 would grow us far beyond what we thought 6 short verses could ever do. And we walk out of here this morning individually, each of us, and in our relationships and families and marriages and whatever, knowing you better, loving you more, and serving you greater because of it. This is our prayer, and it's in Jesus' name that we come and we pray. Amen. Thanks so much for being here this morning.